Live from the WLIWFM studio in Southampton, New York, on Tuesday, May 21st, 2024, I'm Gianna Volpe. The federal government is recommending that a Montauk fisherman convicted of a three-year conspiracy to illegally harvest fluke and black sea bass spend from 4 to 5 years in federal prison and pay more than $1.7 million in fines and other costs, according to court papers. Lawyers for the fisherman, Christopher Winkler, are asking for 6 months of home confinement and 3 years of probation when he faces sentencing in July. Mark Harrington reporting on Newsday.com that Winkler, 63, captain of commercial trawler New Age in Montauk, in October was convicted of 5 counts, including conspiracy, mail fraud, and obstruction, following a multi-year probe of a scheme that spanned from Montauk to the new Fulton Fish Market in the Bronx. He faced a maximum sentence of up to 20 years in prison. Winkler and Asa and Brian Gosman were initially charged in 2021 as part of the federal government's decade-long investigation of the commercial fishing industry, saying they conspired to mislabel packing boxes, falsify fishing reports, and sell fish well over the limits. Only one prior case in the government's ongoing probe went to trial and resulted in a hung jury with no prison time for the defendant, Tom Coquel of Northport, who entered a non-prosecution agreement with the government. More than a dozen men have been charged, with most pleading guilty and at least 3 serving prison time. Winkler's lawyers, Peter Smith of Northport and Richard Levitt and Zach Segal, both of Manhattan, in their 31-page filing in March, portrayed Winkler as a quiet man from a working-class family who built his first fishing boat and worked 12-plus hour days, 6 days a week. But federal prosecutors painted a considerably different picture, calling Winkler's conspiracy extensive and systematic. Sentencing is scheduled for July 11th, for Judge Joan M. Azrak in federal court in Central Islip. In other news, the MTA is bringing back a ticket discount program that aims to encourage Long Islanders to take the train rather than their cars when visiting Manhattan during the weekends. Alfonso A. Castillo reporting on Newsday.com that Metropolitan Transportation Authority officials yesterday announced the return of the Summer Saturdays ticket promotion on their 2 commuter railroads, the LIRR and Metro North. Under the program, monthly ticket holders can travel anywhere in their respective railroads system on Saturdays in July and August at no additional cost and bring up to 2 guests, paying $1 per trip. First introduced in 2018, the program aims to incentivize taking the train instead of driving. That from LIRR President Robert Free, said it at the monthly meeting of the MTA's Railroad Committee. The program, which hasn't been offered since 2021, coincides with the June 30 launch date for the MTA's congestion pricing plan, which will charge most vehicles $15 for driving below 60th Street in Manhattan during peak hours, including 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. Also on the railroad, insisting that improvements to the South Fork commuter connection be included in the MTA's 5-year capital plan to be approved in October, elected officials, representatives from East End school districts and businesses, and a Stony Brook Southampton Hospital official demanded that the MTA provide more LIRR service and implored residents to lobby for the same at a rally at the railroad station in Hampton Bays on Friday. Christopher Walsh reporting on 27East.com that the bipartisan gathering included New York State Assemblyman Fred W. Thiel Jr., State Senator Anthony Palumbo, Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine, and members of the Southampton and East Hampton Town boards, many of the latter group arriving at the rally via the LIRR's westbound train. Each spoke about the importance of the $260 million project to alleviate traffic congestion that they said is not only detrimentally impacting residents' quality of life, but adversely affecting the economy, the environment, and public safety. The South Fork Commuter Connection, one speaker after another agreed is a great success. Launched on the Montauk branch in 2019, the coordinated rail and bus system operates between Spionk and Montauk during peak commuting hours to provide a public transportation option, alleviating traffic congestion. And finally, a Newsday survey of Long Island school districts holding budget votes today found a majority at least somewhat optimistic over their financial prospects for the next several years, with a smaller number of pessimistic districts. One unanswered question some responders indicated was whether Albany lawmakers might ultimately make changes in the way state funds are distributed. John Hildebrand and Michael R. Ebert reporting on Newsday.com that across Long Island, residents of 124 school districts are going to the polls today to vote on school budget proposals totaling nearly $16 billion. Most polls are scheduled to close around 8 p.m., some later. In recent weeks, Newsday conducted its survey as part of a questionnaire sent to all districts to gather information on budgets, school board candidates, and other issues. Of 104 districts responding to Newsday's poll, 56% expressed optimism over their future, while only 16% were pessimistic. Others were undecided or indicated they were unable to answer for other reasons. The most common offered for inability to forecast was uncertainty over state funding for schools. Following a dispute over the issue this year, Governor Kathy Hochul and legislative leaders agreed to sponsor a review of the state's funding system next year by the Rockefeller Institute, a think tank headquartered in Albany. Reading the weather in the city in honor of the legendary Don McLean, who is there ahead of attending the state dinner at the White House on May 23rd for President William Ruto of Kenya. Looking like a sunny Tuesday in the city with a high near 75 degrees. South wind 6 to 11 miles per hour tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 64 degrees. Southwest wind around 9 miles per hour. Right now it's 65 degrees. And I've got an American edition planned for you, all wrapped around not only American Pie, but American Boys, the title track of Don McLean's new record right here on Long Island's only local NPR radio station. You're listening to WLIWFM.
Many's the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, and I've often felt forsaken, and certainly misused. Oh, but I'm all right, I'm all right, I'm just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away from home, so far away from home. I don't know a soul who's not been battered. I don't have a friend who feels at ease. I don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right, for we lived so well so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly, looking back down at me, smiling reassuringly. and I dreamed I was flying. And high up above, my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea. And I dreamed I was flying. Well, we come on the ship they call the Mayflower. We come on the ship that sails the moon. We come in the ages most uncertain hours and sing an American tune. Oh, and it's alright. It's alright, it's alright. You can be forever blessed. Still, tomorrow's gonna be another working day. Trying to get some rest. That's all I'm trying, to get some rest.
Ryman Simon leading you into the American edition of the Heart of the East End Morning and Midnight Show here on Long Island's only local NPR radio station. We've got the Scooter Bound Band featuring Charlie Daniels with American Sun, the title track of their 2017 record. But first, I wanted to let you know of a new feature that you can access on the WLIWFM website. You can see us waving to those watching the live stream on the WLIWFM studio at wliw.org/radio. You can watch us live in the studio. So come check it out. And thank you for being with us, no matter how you are. I'm Gianna Volpe. This is Scooter Brown Band featuring Charlie Daniels. And you, whoever you are out there, you're awesome. And you're listening to WLIWFM.
United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
We come from the farms and the ranches, the oil field hands, the ones who turned the wrenches. We built these bridges and roads. The big rig drivers hauling the load. The mason, the cop, the coal miner. The banker, the lawyer, the firefighter. I'm the man in the shadows who carries a gun. I'm the sheepdog, the American son.
Scooter Braun Band featuring Charlie Daniels on this edition of The Heart. It's an American edition, all in honor of the one and only, the legendary Don McLean and his brand new record, American Boys, the title track of which you'll hear in a minute. I was going to play a little Sunhouse American Defense to get us there, but Don, since you're on with us, let's just jump into what this track is about. I mean, Sunhouse being a grandfather of the blues and rock and roll being born from it. Am I getting close at all?
Yeah, it's a very pretty obvious song. It's one of those fun songs. We mentioned a lot of different players, but important people that created rock and roll. But the key word in from my point of view is that American boys invented rock and roll. We forget just how much music our country has invented. The
right.
Blues, jazz, rock and roll. We've been in the middle of a British revolution really since the 60s with these phenomenal groups that have taken Chuck Berry and our blues man and various people and made terrific groups out of them and done wonderful things you can only imagine. But, you know, the Beach Boys are an American band and they made that music. It's purely American, and rock and roll is an American invention.
Right.
So I'm proud of the creativity of America. And, to me, and one of the reasons that I did this is it was fun and it was the total opposite of what American Pie is, which is a whole different thing. But it's just a fun song. But
it's a celebrating the life of American music instead of, you know, some of the despair. With what was the changes in the 60s.
That's right. And I think, to me, nobody can touch the recordings of Buddy Holly or Elvis Presley or the Everly Brothers or Fats
right.
Domino. They just are not, you can't touch Fats Domino. You can't touch Little Richard.
Right. I'm glad when you mentioned Fats, though. And of course, Little Richard as well.
Well, I did the best. We had a lot of fun writing it. It started out with an idea that my guitar player had, Vipperman, and then I took it from there. Neither of us could seem to write anything, and then all of a sudden I figured out what to do about 2 years later. And, he's been on the road with me for 15 years, and I said, okay, I got that, and then I did a few more, and then I wrote six more. And then we had an album, and there's a lot of diversity on this record, like there is on every album I've ever made. There's very different kinds of songs.
And how was it just dropped, on Friday or so? How was the opening weekend?
Yeah. Oh, I guess it's doing very well. I've been promoting it like mad here in New York City. And I'm then going to Washington to be at the White House for a state dinner on May 23rd. And then I'm going up to visit my friend, the sculptor, Zenos Fridakis, and then I'm going home. So I will have had about 8 or 9 days of pretty intense work behind everything. And I feel very good about the whole thing. I think it's a good thing for young people to hear songwriting.
Amen.
Because there really isn't much songwriting anymore.
That's true. It's a very different world musically. Do you want to talk a little bit about Home Free and working with that group?
Well, you know, that was my friend Kurt Webster's idea in Nashville. He knows the people with Home Free, and I hadn't realized that there were many a cappella groups out there that could make a living. I was really impressed with that. And so we did a version of American Pie, which was number one on the country charts for about 2 months. And people seemed to really like it. So we've now done Vincent. They made a very nice video of that. And I'm quite pleased with that. We're also coming out with another children's book, Vincent, called Vincent.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, we're going to have five of these books by the time we're all finished. The first one was American Pie, a fable. And, you know, during the pandemic, we were able to do this documentary movie, The Day the Music Died, the story of Don McLean's American Pie. You can get that on Amazon. You can also stream that on Paramount Plus. That is an important movie to see if anybody is really interested in me or that song, because there's too much in there to even
oh,
begin
yeah.
to talk about it.
No, yeah. I was reading a you know, line by line breakdown just early this morning, and it was very, very lengthy. And I imagine that you get questions about it all the time, and I didn't really want to touch on it, but I'm curious, has anyone gotten which I imagine yes, something markedly wrong trying to parse the lyrics? What's something that over the years was just completely out of left field? And maybe, you know.
Well, there's a lot of that. You know, I've had people take it and try to make it sound like it's this or it's that or something else. The answer to that is in that movie, because I talk about every word in the song. So we end that problem.
Yeah, that's good.
There's some things in the song that are nonsense. There's some things that are serious. There's some things that are half what they seem, or three things at once. And it's just a thing. I just did it for myself. You know, I never dreamed it would become this
massive piece
of behemoth.
Right. As American
well,
as American
you have
Pie.
Something like, when you have something like that that gets to be number one and it's the longest song for 50 years, it's unassailable.
Right.
You know, people say, oh, well, you couldn't follow it. And I say, well, you couldn't either. You know, I don't know anybody who could follow it.
You know, it was beautiful. I liked the comments that you had for Taylor Swift, who then took the trophy of the longest, you know, song.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved the nice words Brian Wilson, you mentioned the Beach Boys earlier, had to say about you and your voice. And, you know, and I wanted to ask you about something. I wanted to ask about Roberta Flack's Killing Me with this song, because that was about written about you, inspired by your performance what in the 71 at the Troubadour Club in LA.
Yeah, I was singing a song called Empty Chairs,
right,
from the American Pie album, and Lori Lieberman had come along. This is what story she's always told, and she's very truthful. She came along with a friend of hers. And the friend encouraged her to come. I don't think she was all that enthusiastic, but she went and she fell in love with that song and started writing down all these ideas, which then were incorporated into the song Killing Me Softly by Norman Gimbel, who claims to have written the lyrics, but really Norman Gimbel borrowed, shall we use a very nice word?
Yes, it's very diplomatic.
A lot of the ideas from Lori Lieberman, who he gave no credit to. And it's the true story of the relationship between the songwriters Gimbel and Fox and Lori Lieberman. If that true story were known, it would be a scandal, the way they treated her.
I'm sorry to hear that.
They
I don't
were
like that not, at all.
They were her. No, I don't either. That's why I tell the truth. They were her managers as well as being the songwriters. And what they would do, and they did this for a few other people, is they would take somebody that they thought was attractive or had potential, and they would write a you know, a bunch of songs for that person, and they would sing them, and everybody would go home happy. But the problem is that Lori is much more talented than some of the people that they would try to do this with, and she had all these ideas, and I'm sure there are other songs on her first album that they also use that notebook for. So,
and of course, you're no stranger to situations or people like this. I remember reading
the music business. The music business is and was and still is. I mean, like the Wild West, you know. Mm. I had a degree in finance. I had a college degree. See, that's why I was a little older when I was lucky enough to make my success. I was 26, 27, around there, because I'd done 4 years of college. And I knew how to read contracts. I knew how to read contracts. And I knew what the legal stuff meant. And you even take an artist as dominating and as enormous as Taylor Swift is at this point, and you can't say enough good about this woman. She
right.
was a star for 15 years.
Well, and also wicked smart.
And then all of a sudden, getting
her catalog back in the way she did.
And now she's bigger than ever.
Right.
After 15 years of superstardom, that is amazing, the growth power of this individual. But she lost her catalog because.
Right.
She did not have an attorney that gave her the proper advice and told her that was in the contract. You see, and the same thing with the Rolling Stones. They lost everything to a guy named Alan B. Klein because of decisions that were made that they made that they understood, I guess. But then the ramifications of those decisions become enormous as these catalogs have gone through the roof in value. And so I had a lawyer, I said, look, just write me a letter and tell me 1, 2, 3, 4. What am I giving away?
Right.
What don't I like about this agreement? That's all I want to know. And so that would have been number one. You're going to lose your catalog. It will not revert to you. It's okay. We're not doing that. We're going to change that.
You know, it's fascinating. And when did you go ahead and trademark American Pie? Because you ended up getting like residuals from like the movies, borrowing that word, and it's fascinating stuff, and I actually
well, that's a good question,
and I have another one after that, which is, you know, do you think you've made more money from American Pie, considering all of the things we just mentioned, or And I Love You So, because of how many people covered it.
I think I've made about the same amount from both of them, which
wow.
is a lot.
Yeah.
But I've been certified recently as having sold 50 million albums worldwide, over 50 million albums. Now that's, you know, that's not major, which those would have to be, you know, 200 and 300 million. But for somebody that you really only think of has one or two songs, it really doesn't add up to that. It's people buy these albums, and they buy them all over the world, and I'm played all over the world.
Right. We're very lucky.
All the time.
We're very lucky.
I am.
We're very lucky to have you.
I'm lucky too.
I wanted to ask you
Thank
about
you.
Your experiences with the New York State Council on the Arts, and how a grant
okay.
and how a grant from them impacted your career path. I wanted to get stuff out there. For maybe folks coming up in the business.
Well, you want me to talk about it now?
Oh, you need to wrap. No. All right. So before you go, forgive my ignorance, but I just have one more quick question, which is, have you ever
sure.
recorded Big Iron by Marty Robbins?
Which is the song?
I don't, you know what? I'll play it for you. And then I'll play American Boys. You know,
there's a whole album
because you did a whole
things Marty Robbins.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's
I didn't see it on
there.
Year. All right. Well, so then I get the answer is no. But I want to say thank you. I'm going to play
okay.
American Boys. And thank you, Don,
thank you.
For joining us this morning.
Well, I want to say about the Council on the Arts, they let me be outside all summer. They kept me out of the Army in 1968, and I love singing. I love being outdoors, so it was a great experience. It got me known in the Hudson Valley, and from there on out, I built my career. So that's your answer about that question. Thank you for all your good questions.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm Gianna Volpe. That was Don McLean, and so is this on WLIWFM. This is the title track of his brand new record, American Boys.
Shook up the nation.
Shook up the nation.
American boys invented rock and roll. Well, they say the fat man, he started it all. Pounding that piano made the dominoes fall.
Made the dominoes fall.
Chuck went to Memphis. And Buddy took the sad plane to a secret destination. Yeah, American boys, they invented rock and roll by singing rhythm and blues. Oh, with a hillbilly soul. Shook up the nation.
Shook up the nation.
I said American boy. Invented rock and roll. Well, Hank had his Ford and his $2 bill. He set the woods on fire. Man, it's burning nasty.
Burning still.
Well, Cash got rhythm. Some boogie for a pompadour crime. Well, I've already told Mama it would be all right. Little Richard said to have a tutti-frutti tonight. Well, Healy had his comet to bring us the word about a southern king nobody ever had heard. Singing rhythm and blues. Oh, with a hillbilly soul. Man, they caused a sensation.
Caused a sensation.
That shook up the nation.
Shook up the nation.
I said American boy. Invented rock and roll. Yeah, American boy. Invented rock and roll.
You're listening to the American edition of The Heart of the East End, underwritten by Peconic Landing, Union Derm, and Southampton Arts Center.
Long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, now do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing, "Bye, bye, Miss American Pie." Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Day that I die, this will be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. Oh, and while the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned, no verdict was returned. And while Lennon read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark. The day that I die. Helter skelter in the summer swelter, the birds flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. It landed foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sidelines in a cast. While the sergeants played a marching tune, we all got up to dance. Oh, but we never got the chance. 'Cause the players tried to take the field, the marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed the day the music died? We started singing. Fire is the devil's only friend. I watched him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. The day the music died, he was singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry, and good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this will be the day that I die, this will be the day that I die. I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. And they were singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry, and them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day that I die, this'll be the day that I die. They were singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day that I die.
Reading from an email from Penny Rudder. Hi, Gianna. As you know me well, my heart is in the food community here, especially in our little free pantries and in the farmers' markets. Many of the vendors have become family. Last week, I got a text from one special pal, Jeanette Candido of the granola plant, and she mentioned feeling a little off. You may have seen her granola. She's at farmers markets everywhere. Her warmth, kindness, and products were integral to KK's winter market these past 2 years. She also manages the Southampton market in the summer. In her text, she expressed a non-specific malaise, just feeling not herself and experiencing some weird moments of forgetfulness. Or were they? I got her text on Friday, May 3rd. On Thursday, May 9th, she lost part of one eye's peripheral vision, and her doctor told her to immediately go to the ER. One day later, Friday, May 10th, she was operated on for a very aggressive brain cancer. 1 week, symptom onset to this diagnosis out of the blue. As it turns out, May is Brain Cancer Awareness Month. Her symptoms were ones easily missed, put off, given into life's fatigues and stresses. Had she not listened to her body, put herself as an immediate priority, she might have created a much worse situation. I love her. All who have met her, feel the same. I asked her family's permission to reach out to you. Her story is a powerful reminder during this month and every month to not dismiss what your body is telling you, to get help immediately. Off means off. Her son is the main point of contact for the family while she's recovering from the surgery at home. She has quite a journey ahead of her, and her wish, the family's wish, is that their experience will help raise the awareness of the symptoms of brain cancer, which are so easy to dismiss, and by doing so, give hope and support to other families. Cancer can be a very lonely journey. Love you, Penny. I'm Gianna Volpe. That was Penny Rudder. This is Will Pilot and the Acoustic Shadows. Taylor Swift leading you into the NPR News Break during the American edition of the Heart Morning and Midnight Show. Don McLean joined us. In the next hour, Andrew Botsford and Rosemary Klein, right here on Long Island's only local NPR radio station. You can see us. Peek behind the curtain at wliw.org/radio. Our live stream cameras are up and running. You're listening to WLIWFM, NPR Radio, supported by listeners like you. donating to WLIWFM.org.
Rebecca rode up on the afternoon train. It was sunny. Her salt box house on the coast took a mind off St. Louis. Bill was the heir to the Standard Oil name and money. And the town said, how did a middle class divorcee do it? The wedding was charming, if a little gauche. There's only so far new money goes. They picked out a home and called it Holiday House. Their parties were tasteful, if a little loud. The doctor had told him to settle down. It must have been her fault his heart gave out. And they said, there goes the last great American dynasty. Who knows if she never showed up, what could have been? There goes the maddest woman this town has ever seen. She had a marvelous time ruined.